I want to turn your attention to the 13th chapter of Matthew, verses 44, 45, and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, the first thing that I would like for us to think on is the fact that the Bible expresses the wisdom of God. And however wise we might think that we are, yet we would have to take down when we come face to face with God and His wisdom and recognize that His wisdom is greater than ours. Now, in the wisdom of God, as it is expressed here, the kingdom of God is worth all things else. Now, that's the way He sees it. Now, God sits on high. From the vantage point from which He sits, where He can view the end from the beginning, the future from the past, and He views all things in the light of eternity and not of time, He said, what would it profit a man if he were to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now, He valued a man's soul as worth more than the whole world. How much do we value our own soul? What value do you put on your soul? If you do not put that kind of value on your soul, then it's evident that you don't understand enough. You do not have a clear enough, far-reaching enough perspective. If you did, your soul would be as valuable to you as it was to Christ. Now, the second thing that I would like for us to think on is that God knows you and me. He knows just how we react. He knows what we will react to. God knows what makes us tick. He made us. And therefore, He is setting forth to us just how man will behave under ordinary circumstances. He knows why we behave just like we behave. What is back of that? Now, God knowing that, knowing the hearts of men, and knowing just how they react to certain things, He said that when this man had found the kingdom of God, he would go and for joy he'd sell all that he had and buy it. Now, the God who knows you and me and understands us all together, he said a human being would act that way. Not just certain human beings, not just an individual here and there, but that's just the way men will act. If they have found the kingdom of God, the reaction within them will be that of joy and a willingness to sell all that they have to obtain it. Now, if you don't see it that way this morning, if the kingdom of God does not mean more to you than anything else and all things else put together, he said he just sold all that he had. Not just his most valued treasure, but all that he had, and bought this. Now, if the kingdom of God doesn't mean that much to you this morning, and you don't see it that way, and you don't consider it worth all things else that you possess or could possess, it's an evident token of the fact that you just haven't found it yet. Amen. Because Jesus said when you found it, that's the way you'd act. And you wouldn't do it grudgingly, you'd do it joyfully. For joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Then just going a little step further with the thought, if you don't see the kingdom of God like that, like Jesus expressed it here, then there's a pretty good chance that you don't see the horrors of hell like you should either. If people comprehend the horrors of hell and the glories of salvation and of the kingdom of God, the rest of it's simple to them. The issue is easily resolved when we get a clear perspective of the whole picture. Now Jesus said, it's like the treasure hid in a field. The kingdom of God is here. It's here right now. It can be possessed right now. We possess it right here when he saves from all sin. And will last while the ages shall roll. But the sad thing about it is that is hid to the most of folks. We read in the 4th chapter of 2 Corinthians in the 4th verse that the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, the God of this world has the blinds pulled over most of the folks' eyes so they don't see the kingdom of God. It's here, but it's hidden. It's a treasure to be sought after. It isn't just out on the surface we have to seek after it. A treasure hid in a field. Jesus said in the 11th chapter of Matthew in verse 25, he said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, but hast revealed them unto babes. The reason people in many instances fail to see the kingdom of God consists in their pride. They're not being lowly enough. That it's revealed to babes. Lowly people. miserable people. It's hid from the wise and the prudent. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, verse 7, he says, "We speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world, which come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." None of the princes of this world knew this wisdom. It was hidden from them, hid from the wise and the prudent, revealed unto babes. Now, in speaking of the princes of this world, since the subject under consideration is wisdom, I conclude that the princes of this world would represent the intellectual giants, the highly learned people of this world, people loaded with the wisdom of this world, but they didn't know this wisdom. Now, Paul said again, when in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom knew not God. We need to take down, folks, and we need to recognize the fact that God's wisdom is greater than ours, and face the issues and facts of life in that light, and let the wisdom of God instruct us and guide us in our way. None of the princes of this world knew this, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. For as it is written, "I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has revealed to them that love him, but he has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Jesus said to his apostles, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Unto those that are without, all these things are done in parables." It's God's will that you and I be enabled to comprehend and search out the hidden wisdom, the hidden wisdom of God, and to discover and find the kingdom of God in its entirety, in its fullness, and not only that, but to possess it. He said, "It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, that we might possess the kingdom of God." The kingdom of God is salvation with all the fringe benefits and everything that's involved. It's covered in the ground here, the kingdom of God. Jesus said in the 19th chapter of Luke, verse 42, he said, "If thou hadst known, even thou, in this thy time, the things that pertain to thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes." Now all the world is in search of peace. They're working overtime, trying to find peaceful solutions to their problems today. But the solution is hid from the wise men of earth and the diplomats that are handling these things. The solution is hid from them. Now it's hid from thine eyes, the things that pertain to thy peace. Jesus was our peace. He had come to bring peace to the people of his time, but it was right there and hid to the most of them. Not many of them discovered it. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hid in a field. And because it's hid in the field, we can just walk over the field and we can go our way and never discover it. But he said when a man does discover it, he'll go and for joy, he'll sell all that he has and buy it. Now, this also entails the fact that there's a price tag on salvation. It's going to cost something. He went and sold all that he had and bought it. It just took all he had to buy it. Actually, the price is the same today. Sin has its price. Salvation has it. And the price on sin, it's an exorbitant price. And it is never reduced. And it's never been reduced from the day sin entered into this world until now. The price of sin is still the same. And maybe the payments may be deferred for a little while, but they're never reduced. God's word said, because judgment against an evil work is not speedily executed, therefore the hearts of men are set in them to do evil. But when that judgment is executed, it'll be the same as if it had been executed the same day. They're never reduced. The price of salvation's never reduced either. It still takes all, a giving all, a selling out to God, a forsaking all to obtain the kingdom of God. God isn't operating any bargain basements. He has no bargain counters where things are just thrown on there and you can get them for a lesser price. But he has one price to everybody. And it's the same price from time immemorial down to now. There's no reduction on it. This is just as true today as it was the day Jesus spoke these words, that it takes all to get the kingdom of God. Except a man forsake all that he has, Jesus said in the 14th chapter of Luke, verse 33, he cannot be my disciple. It requires a forsaking of all. Now, he said again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. In one case, it's a farmer. In another case, it's a businessman. The kingdom of God, salvation, is the same to all people, whatever their station in life, whatever their occupation, whatever they do for a livelihood, whatever their business, the kingdom of God, salvation, is the same unto all. It has the same benefits unto all. It has the same price to everybody. Just all. Forsake all, except a man forsake all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. And when Jesus spoke those words, they were at the conclusion of a thought about a man building a tower. And he didn't sit down and figure out what the cost was going to be. He didn't get an accurate estimate on it. He just started to build. And after a while, he ran out of money. His tower was not finished, but he couldn't proceed any further with it. I saw a building like that once, had about $500 million sunk in it. And it was just abandoned. Just left there. John Ringling started to build a million-dollar hotel, or a multi-million-dollar hotel, maybe, at the end of an island at Sarasota, Florida. The land boom was on in Florida. And he had spent about $500,000 in this hotel, at the building up there. When I saw it, the building material was just strewn around there. Some of it stacked high around there. And the building just stood in the rough. But he was up in New York with some of those financial moguls up there, and he got inside track on it that the land boom was going to break in Florida. So he just sent a telegram down there to his foreman and says, stop everything. And that's the way they did. They just stopped it, and the stuff was still all around there, and the building just in the rough with about $500,000 sunk in it. Well, Jesus said that men do those things, and after they start, they're not able to finish. And all that see it begin to mock, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. He's instructing you and me to count up the cost. There's a cost to it, but to count it up, see. Count up the cost. Many people fail in their experiences of salvation because they haven't, in the beginning, counted up the cost and paid the price. We have a song says, when first I started to seek the Lord, I'm glad I counted the cost. I fully measured the Jesus' word. I'm glad I counted the cost. I paid the price and obtained the prize. Folks, let me tell you, that's just the way it'll be. Another song says, when thy soul a perfect price hath paid, God will send the holy fire. You go all out for God, God will go all out for you. You satisfy God, and He'll satisfy you. But people are failing to count the cost, and consequently, they're not going through. Jesus is not the least bit interested in saving you and me, just to have us go a ways with Him and forsake Him and go back and be lost in the end. He'd rather not do that. He'd just rather not save you at all as to have you fail of His grace and forsake Him and go back and be lost in the end. When He saves you, He starts to heaven with you. And that's where He expects to get you, and that's where He will get you if you will let Him. If you just follow and cooperate with Him and submit yourself to Him, He'll get you there. He knows the way there. He knows just how to do it and how to get you there. But we find here the farmer and the merchant man, businessmen, high and low, rich and poor, the price is the same to everybody and the results are the same to everybody. You just pay the price and you'll obtain the prize. With thy soul the perfect price is paid. Everybody that will pay the perfect price, the full price, whether they have much or whether they have little, they still have themselves to deal with. That's the price. Just give yourself. Forsake the world and all the things of the world and yourself and selfish interests. That's the price. Now, He spoke about the merchant man seeking goodly pearls. when he had found one pearl of great price. Sold all that he had and bought it. Now here's the way I'm thinking in this respect. Here's a man in the pearl business. He's a merchant man dealing in pearls. And since he is in the pearl business, he'd know a good pearl when he saw one. He would know how to evaluate pearls. If he didn't, he wouldn't last very long. If he would buy pearls for more than what he could sell them for, he wouldn't stay in business very long. He would have to know the value of a pearl in order to run his business. Now this man, dealing in pearls and understanding the value of pearls, he discovers a pearl and he examines and he determines it to be worth more than all the other pearls he has. Everything else that he has. So he just goes and sells out and buys that pearl. Said the kingdom of heaven's like that. That's salvation. Jesus is the pearl of great price. Now the Apostle Paul was a man that had many pearls. He was dealing in things of value. And he said in the 3rd chapter of Philippians in verse 7, just before this, he's been enumerating some of his pearls. Things that were valuable to him. Important to him. And he outlines his position and his heritage and his righteousness and all these things that were of value to him. But one day he met Jesus, met him face to face, and Jesus was revealed to him on that Damascus road, and just one glimpse of Jesus changed his whole line of thinking. That's what Jesus is trying to tell you and me here in this passage, that when a man finds it, for joy thereof, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it. I heard a song, I guess you've heard it too, but I heard Charles Smith and his folks sing it back there. When I looked upon Christ, something happened to me. That's the way it was with Paul. That's the way it'll be with you. That's the way it was with me, with every one of us, when we looked upon Christ. When Christ was revealed to our soul, something happened to us. It made a change in us. It brought about a difference in viewpoint and thrown a different light on things for us. When we looked upon Christ. And when Paul, after enumerating all of his pearls, now Paul was a highly learned man. He was in a position to speak when he said the princes of this world didn't know this hidden wisdom. Because he was a man of great wisdom so far as the world was concerned. One of the most learned and lettered men of his age, fluent in several different languages, knew the law from A to Z, brought up at the feet of Gamaliel in the city of Jerusalem. Gamaliel was one of the outstanding teachers of the law in history. He was brought up under thy tutorship. He mentioned that among his pearls. And he was a leader among his fellows. A national leader. He mentioned that among his pearls. He was a man of reputation. And a man of learning and a strictly righteous man. He said concerning the righteousness which is in the law, he was blameless. Very righteous man. Mentioned that among his pearls too. But when he met Christ that day, something happened to him. And after that encounter, he said, what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but waste, that I may win Christ. His righteousness didn't mean so much to him now. He said, be found in him not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God by faith. I want God's righteousness now. He had discovered that his righteousness didn't carry him all that far. Maybe he had read by now in the prophets that all our righteousness is just as filthy rags before him. It didn't carry him that far. Now I want to be found in Christ, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Paul was one of the great champions of salvation through faith. He had a lot of encounters with his Judaizing brethren that wanted to incorporate the works of the law in it too. And he had some better encounters with some of them, but he championed the cause of justification by faith. Salvation through the faith of Christ without the works of the law. Now he just said, I suffer the loss of all things that I might win Christ. Now the way he looked at it was that if it cost me everything I have, and it did, and I get Christ in the transfer, I'm the winner. I'm out ahead. Suffer the loss of all things that I may win Christ. Christ is the pearl of great price. He is the majestic. He is the incomparable one. There's not a person, there's not a thing in this world that's comparable to the Lord Jesus Christ and his glory and his grace. He's above all. He outdistanced everything. Is it that way in our estimation? Do we see it that way? If we don't see it that way, we need a personal encounter with Christ. We need a a revelation of Christ to our souls. Amen.